think the biggest thing that we need to unlock on the continent that Web3 is going to help us achieve is a frictionless, seamless transfer of value.
Welcome to How We Build Web3 in Africa. This is where we explore the biggest ideas, where we share insights and reveal the biggest and the latest development happening within Web3 in Africa. This is how we inspire the next generation of builders. This is how we level the playing field. I'm Daniel Akwabare, and I'm here with George Masomi. George, how are you doing?
I'm great, Daniel, and it's such an amazing Sunday afternoon here in Nairobi. And we're excited to be joined by Norman Gabula, G-Boss. Norman?
Yeah.
Hi.
How are you doing, Norman?
I'm doing great. How about yourselves? Hi, Daniel. Hi, George. Thank you for having me on today in the afternoon.
Yeah. It's a remarkable story, the one you have before we turned on the record. We've seen that you've been in the space for quite some time, since back in 2017, and you've been doing a lot of things. But really, just for the sake of the audience that are listening right now, how did you get involved in the space?
So my involvement in the space dates back into 2017, when I was still doing a lot of freelance writing in my university days. Somehow, I ended up in the first instance being approached by a client who wanted to pay me via cryptocurrencies in early 2017. I think it was the first month thereabouts, but I wasn't too interested back then, but it stayed with me. And I had to just go back. I had to go back and find out what Bitcoin was all about. Then as 2017 kept on progressing, when in the first two or three months after I found out about what Bitcoin was, I had a little bit more interest. And towards the end of the year, I had started preparing for my thesis. And then I thought it would be a great thing to write about Bitcoin, because besides understanding it a little bit more, I would probably shed more light and my experience with what was going on in the crypto space. At that time, there wasn't so much interest in the crypto space beyond what we had, maybe in the people who had been around since the early days of Bitcoin and all that. So fast forward to 2018, and I was in charge of the student population in the law school as a student leader elected. And I held an event, a blockchain awareness day, where I invited a number of eminent personalities at that time. One of them included the then chair of the Blockchain and AI Task Force, who's currently the Kenyan ambassador to Belgium. The other person that I invited was EOS Nairobi. And then I also invited Moringa School. However, the people from EOS Nairobi weren't able to make it to the event on that day. So they invited me to their event about a week later or so. And that is where I got to meet Daniel, and I got to meet George. And I was a little bit excited, because besides meeting the two of them, I met a lawyer from the Bahamas who was just coming into the country, and at that time was exploring building a blockchain-based crowdfunding platform. Being two legal professionals who are into crypto, who had already seen the possible future that could be created by following up on a decentralized ethos, we hit it off, and I started working under him at that time. That's when I started getting paid in stable coins. And I would say that was the beginning of my journey for me, because when I realized I could get paid in dollar form in crypto, I saw beyond the hype. I saw beyond what could just have been made on a quick profit. And I thought I would dedicate myself wholly to making it in the legal side of things and just understanding the technology more.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's a bit of a summary of how I got started.
it's a great one. And just so the audience knows, the Daniel you mentioned you met during that time is not me, right? So it was George it's not me. Well, it's awesome, though. It's a good story. So how did you realize, because from what you said so far, you jumped, you got involved in the space. You joined up with some people who pretty much show you the ropes, and being a part of a community that was inclusive. My big thing is the normal thing for a lawyer, and sorry for not saying this earlier, a normal is actually a legal practitioner, right? The standard thing is immediately after leaving school, the path is pretty much clear, right? You go look for a good, decent job, and you climb the ladder in order to become a partner. But you chose a different path. When did you realize that the traditional path wasn't for you?
Okay, I think it goes all just way back to when I discovered Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in 2017. I hinted that at that time, I was doing a lot of freelance legal work. And the reason why I had propelled toward that is just like the people who are in Nigeria right now understand, there were lots of tension with the lecturers and kept on having strikes and back and forth, and our academic hours were getting cut. So I was starting to get disillusioned, honestly, with law school at that time and the legal practice. But thank God I had something to focus myself into and benefit and learn for myself. So that was around the beginning. So when I got involved in crypto in 2017, fast forward to 2018, I thought it fit that I would write my research paper and my dissertation on this. I did well. I graduated, right? And normally the next step after that is to go and sit for the bar. So in 2019, I was in Kenya School of Law sitting for the bar course. I passed on my first attempt, all nine papers, and I was passed on the first attempt, and I was best overall in legal writing and drafting, right?
Oh, wow.
This enabled me to land an opportunity, my pupillage at a multinational legal law firm, one of the best on the continent. Anjarwala and Kana, that is the parent company of Africa Legal Network, present in 16 countries on the continent. It was a great experience because I got exposed to cross-border kind of practice, and the projects come in. You have work coming in from Dubai. You have a securitization transaction that involves three countries. But I quickly realized that that was not what was the kind of path that I wanted to follow up, because I realized that in cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, smart contracts, and Web3, every day I would wake up, there was something new. You know, there was something new to be learned every day. And you go and you leave this space for even 3 weeks, you find that you've been left behind. Yet this was not the same for the traditional legal practice. You know, the kind of precedents, the kind of precepts, all the things you follow have been laid out from the days of the 1600s and the 1500s. It's a straight jacket. Things are done in a very systematic and fashionable manner. But I realize that's not the kind of person I am. I'm someone who likes to play around with things. I like to build, and I like to have something that I wake up to every day knowing I'm going to have something new and challenging. And besides that, I knew that it was going to be a better way for me to contribute, even in the long term, towards the continent and towards mankind in general, aside from just benefiting for myself.
Yeah, what you say, Norman, is very interesting, because when I was also studying my engineering degree, we had equipment from 1954. And we were still doing our laboratory sessions with that equipment, and there are times even when the equipment wouldn't work, but it was more or less the same. It didn't change much. And I really like this concept. Exactly. When I think of the legal practice, I see it as the ultimate polymath. Now, a polymath is defined as someone who is an expert in two or more fields, and out of being a polymath, then you create a new field of knowledge. And I think this is what you're working in. You know, you have your traditional law degree, your background, you became an advocate or a barrister in the Western Africa countries. And then you have this new area of knowledge in the crypto space or in the blockchain space. And now this is coming into a combination of a new field of knowledge. And I wanted to know, like, as a lawyer, what do you exactly see in terms of Web3? What are the opportunities, and how does the legal practice operate in Web3 and blockchain?
Okay. I would say it was easy for me to transition into Web3 because initially when I was starting off, I started working when I was still in law school. I wasn't yet done in law school, but I already had a gig at an emerging legal tech company as in-house counsel. Now, besides being myself working there and receiving a salary in stables, I'm really grateful for the culture that was ingrained in me there at Reis, because every Friday, or at least in the initial stages, because we were just most majority crypto enthusiasts, we would have this session on talking about crypto and financial independence and just blockchain technology in general every Friday. So we would have it on a rotational basis. We would sometimes share it among people, but the whole idea is it would require you to read a lot, research a lot in order for you to make proper presentations. Over time, I don't know why, but people ended up gravitating towards me taking charge of those sessions, right? And it gave me even more impetus to read a little bit more in depth and find out what there was beyond just the development side and building up of the technology from the ground. It pushed me to find out what kind of opportunities would be there for legal professionals like me, right? And at that time, I got to learn a lot more about what other people are doing in other jurisdictions and how it could be involved with cryptocurrencies and the underlying technology. And generally just trying to find a way to figure out, aside from being in the crypto world, ways of drafting innovative clauses, innovative contracts, and useful tweaks that would enable people carry out transactions in a legally compliant manner, but that would not come back later and maybe bite them in the ass, because we have a situation where we have this new technology, but we do not have proper, or the regulations that are there were not built with anticipation of things like autonomous execution of transactions and decentralization and other emerging concepts. So my whole idea up to this point has been finding ways of drafting innovatively to cater for this. I hope this answers the question.
Yeah. It does beautifully. So because what I'm getting from what you're saying is that most of the things that you've learned from the Web2 world is actually transferable into Web3. The only big part here is that there's a part for thinking outside the box, because it's not as clearly stated from the 1600s, kind of like the way structures are currently, with the way drafts should be done in the legal sense. It's a beautiful thing. So I think the kind of questions in my head right now is what are some of the projects that you've worked with?
Okay. I told you guys that initially when I started off at Reis, we were thinking of doing a blockchain-based crowdfunding platform for SMEs. And this was as far back as in 2017. So I was thrown in the deep end. I was thrown in the deep end because my CEO back then was from a civil law jurisdiction. He wasn't from Africa. He was like, dude, I need you to figure out how we are going to make our tech stack compliant all the laws of these countries. So I was sent out on an expedition to go and find out everything regarding the law at that time that would help us with crowdfunding and SMEs and building such type of a technology. So we ended up pivoting, by the way. We didn't build a crowdfunding platform. In the course of our research, we realized that there was a bigger gap in regards to visualization and organization of ownership data by VCs, founders, and professionals in the fundraising ecosystem, right? And that is what we ended up drifting into, essentially creating a legal tech company to do these processes end to end. But it kind of gave me an independent mindset that at that time, I wasn't really aware, but was going to prepare me for this type of situation where I am right now. So fast forward to today, I've been able to help out guys in their tokenization attempts. I have been able to help out people set up offshore corporate structures, do their compliance work, do all their contracts. That includes contracts required for getting set up on the continent, contracts required for their employees and their movement and all of that. I've also been able to help out with creation of an ideation for white papers and making sure that whatever people are doing on the continent or with regards to their crypto projects, they are doing it in a way that is legally compliant. Yes.
That's really amazing, Norman. And it's so nice to understand the concept, the context of where you are and where you've been working and how that relates to even the process of building out communities and building out networks. Do you want to share with us a little bit about your work at ETH Safari and which was
yes,
and tell us a little bit about ETH Safari and how it came to be.
You sure? So ETH Safari came to me. The opportunity to join the ETH Safari team came at a time when I had just been recovering from a smart contract mistake where I lost some cash that I had hoped would take me through the entire year after I had left my previous job. But when I got in touch with a couple of other cryptocurrency enthusiasts who have been around in the Kenyan blockchain space for some time, guys like Jason, they told me we are looking forward to organizing our first native or encompassing Web3 event in the country. We have had so much development here in Kenya with regards to people coming in, new teams coming in, new blockchains, but we've never had one event where we brought all these people under one umbrella. So I thought it was a worthwhile challenge, and I was like, I'm going to take up on this, and this is going to be my contribution towards the ecosystem, and then I'll see what comes out of it. So I just jumped on it with both hands because it was an opportunity for me to be together with the community, right? Initially, we hadn't anticipated as much international interest as we got towards the end. We just thought we were going to do something for the people who are around. We recognize that this community has been growing. We're just going to get together and compare notes. But it ended up being bigger than that. We had so many challenges in the initial stage with setting up, ideation, even sourcing out for funding. But I think it was just a test of our resolve and faith, because towards the end, we ended up even getting much more interest than we had anticipated. And we executed successfully on the event, and we had so much positive feedback.
Yeah, I think there's something you shared with me, and this is on a more personal level. You said yeah, something sure. about a smart contract mistake. That was like a $17 water mistake. And it sent you back. Yeah, 17K. And that's a lot of money, right? For anyone who lives in Africa, you know that's a lot of money.
Yes,
it will take a lot of care money. Of you for a really long while.
17K is probably a partner would be earning. Maybe, yeah, at the top level fund.
Is that yearly or monthly?
I would say it depends on the level, but if at the top level, that's like the salary of the biggest partners I know. Monthly.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And it takes years to get there, right?
Yeah, and it takes years because those are guys who maybe got qualified in the 80s. Mm-hmm. They've been practicing for no less than 20 years or so for them to be able to get to that level.
And if you think
which is a good thing. It's just to explain how beautiful. George, you want to say something?
Yeah, I was saying, and if you think about it, like in the context of even our local currency and local salaries, that's like 2, 3, 4 years of earnings for the average Kenyan.
Yes.
It's even
so
terrible here.
Okay.
The
story behind that, I remember I told you guys that in 2018, I met with my lawyer friend who was starting a startup, Raise, mm-hmm. and then I was with them 2018. When I graduated from law school 2019, I was working while sitting for the bar. 2020, I was doing my pupillage, which is a 6-month apprenticeship under a qualified lawyer, while at the same time working remotely at my startup. But it was not such a hassle because being a legal tech startup, we had won a contract with them to onboard a number of their SMEs that they had onto our platform. So I was kind of the liaison slash go in between. So that's part of what my job description was then. Last year, around mid last year, I felt like it was time for me to get a new challenge, right? So I quit amicably, I left, bid them farewell. And then I thought I would first of all go and spend some time in the village, just decompress. And then while I was there, I rekindled my interest in agriculture and farming. Full disclosure, I grew up in the village myself, even before coming. I'm a proper village boy, so yeah. I appreciate the farm, livestock. That's something that really means a lot to me. So I got started up on a project there. But while starting there, I got a connection through another friend of mine, where I got the chance to do consulting as an in-house counsel for 6 months for these people who are looking to launch an NFT marketplace. So I was in charge of the entirety of their compliance processes, both internal and external, including hiring people, getting things done internally, research on what was possibly at that time a path to doing an ICO, research on the best offshore jurisdictions where we would be registered in order to minimize our risks and all those things. So when I left there, I got paid in tokens. I got paid about $17,000 worth of tokens in March, and I lost them in April, right? So it was a depressing moment for me, but then I just realized, you know what? It's not the end of life. If you're in crypto, you've seen people lose tons and tons and tons of money. Right? Though it definitely is a lot, even in the African context, I think I just gave myself hope and courage by just reminding myself that, dude, whatever you've lost is a drop in the ocean compared to the number, amount of figures you've seen floating around on crypto Twitter. So I just thought, I'm going to take this as a learning lesson. But besides this, what am I going to do to ensure that I don't fall into the same mistake again? Or what other people, or maybe other people don't fall into the same mistake. So, yeah.
So, I like your story here, because this is you with the cash you said is going to take you through for a while, just until you land well, right, and find your footing.
Yes.
And all of a sudden it was gone in April, right? And somewhere along the line, And somewhere along the line, and this is a story you shared, somewhere along the line when you got involved with Eat Safari, the whole event and the planning, I think you said you were helping with drafting for funding, for a lot of things, right? And getting partnership deals and all. And just within, I think, a day or within some few days when you had to move to go, I think that's in Kilifi, if I remember perfectly.
Yes.
You got a call for a job offer. Like, this is you with zero, right? Zero cash at the point.
Yes.
And you know what? Let me let you tell the story, because it's your story to tell.
Yeah. So just like I told you guys, when I left Nairobi after quitting my job, I've been in the city ever since 2014 when I joined as a freshman, right? Let me just go and have a change of environment. Let me go see what my parents are up to, and let me try and help them up with their retirement projects. Since I have this new gig, I'm going to get paid in tokens. We're in the middle of a bull run. I'm going to have something to fall back onto, you know? It's not like I'm entirely desperate. I have my plan. I have it all figured out, and I'm going to be able to come out of something with this. And then I ended up losing it. It was terrible, because I had already even set up a poultry project for my dad in Jinja, but things had to come to a standstill, right? I had set up a arrowroot farm on a 3-acre piece that I had leased, because I was thinking part of the money that I have, I'm going to come up with a product for this and, you know, just get something as a money tree on the side that would get me compounding on the money that I had. So I ended up losing, and then I had to start from scratch, right? And then that involved coming back to the big city with nothing and starting from the ground up again. That is around May, June, when I got in touch with the people from Eat Safari. So fast forward to September, when we have gone through all the peaks and the valleys of associated with the organization of the event, and now to the point where the train has left the station and there's no looking back, right?
Yeah.
Two days to the event, I get a phone call from one of my closest pals from way back in university. He's like, "You guy, there's a contract here ready for you. We're going to put your name on it, but I need you to clock into work tomorrow morning." The only caveat is we don't have time for you to think. We have tons of work in the commercial department. I can't think of anyone else who can fit in this slot better than you. The offer that these guys are going to give you is something good, you know, it's something that's going to keep you sustained, and it's even better than what I myself am getting paid. So I need to hear from you right now. Oh, I just had to hang up first and listen and think. And to be honest, at that time, given the financial situation that I was in, I won't lie and say that it was an easy decision to make, you know, because I could have just walked in there and thrown caution to the wind and just gone back and thought, like, you know, put my financial welfare, as it were, first. But then I just thought about it deeply, and I thought about my journey and how far back I've come in the Web3 space, and the effort that I've put in, and the kind of prospects that I was looking forward to meeting in Kilifi. And I was like, I just have to pass on this job. I don't know. I'm going to move with faith. I'm going to move blindly, but I'm going to pass on this offer, right? Because I also realized if I had committed to it, then most likely I would not have been exposed as much in continuation in the Web3 space. And more likely than not, given the busy nature of law firms, I would never have had any other time to follow up on my major passion, which is Web3, blockchain, smart contracts, and the entirety of the space. So I gave up on that opportunity. I just told my boy, you know what? Maybe I didn't tell him outright that I can't clock in. I just told him, "Yo, I've been organizing this event since early this year. We're going to be back in like a week. Can I call you then?" Then he was like, okay, it's kind of urgent, but you do what you have to do. I agree that I've also ambushed you. So deep down, I knew I wasn't going to call back, but I was lucky that, and I'm actually very grateful that, aside from the eye-opening experiences that I got while I was in Kilifi, it served to remind me of the journey that I was on and the kind of things that were required of me by the universe to build towards. So I made the right decision, and I wasn't disappointed, because just coming back from Eat Safari, I got inundated with a couple of offers, and all of them were in the Web3 space. So I guess all is well that ends well.
Yeah, that's awesome, George.
Yeah, no, that's fascinating, Norman. And I really like how, you know, in this journey of learning new technology, learning new frontiers, Web3, all these big buzzwords, I think the one thing which I personally have experienced with Norman is his consistency in terms of the daily work that he puts in. Maybe we can close off by sharing with us, you know, what are your top three things that you think the people who are building in Africa and marketing and working all in all these spaces across blockchain, what are the three things that you think they should do?
In terms of, are you asking this in terms of narratives that I think we should be focusing on, or that are going to grow in the space? Or
Yes, in both.
I didn't get the question. Oh, that's in terms of narratives.
Yes, in terms of narratives.
I think the biggest thing that we need to unlock on the continent, and that is going to be that Web3 is going to help us achieve, is a frictionless, seamless transfer of value. I'm going to go above payments. Everyone has beaten the payments horse dry. But you realize the whole idea behind payments is transfer of value. And it doesn't necessarily have to be monetary, you know. Mm-hmm. The development of blockchain and smart contract technology is helping us think about these things from a new paradigm, you know. And Africa, I think that has been one of the biggest problems. We are a continent that is rich in resources. Even where we are headed towards in the future, our demographic is the best. Like, by 2050, majority of our population shall be the last remaining bastion on earth that has a young, working, productive population, you know. So okay. I think Web3 and blockchain technology is the missing link. Once we are able to unlock how to transfer the value that emanates from the numerous resources that we have on the continent, then there's nothing that's going to hold us back. That's the biggest thing. Besides that, we have also witnessed that challenges that are coming up daily, like climate change, for example, and we are being affected disproportionately because we do not have access to the, we were not able to benefit off of the industrialization of the world, yet majority of the raw materials that was used for that came from our part of the world. But the narrative is changing. So I think everything else comes second, but to me, the biggest thing is the ability to unlock value in a frictionless manner. And the friction comes from so many things. It comes from lack of infrastructure. It comes from poor government policy. It comes from all the corruption we see. It comes from the lack of identity that has made, has disenfranchised so many millions on the continent and locked them out of the financial system. Once we are able to harness the power of the blockchain and smart contracts and allied technology to transfer value, then there's not going to be no limit for what kind of growth we can witness on the continent.
Thank you so much.
That's a beautiful one, Naman. I really enjoy your story today, right? Your story really has been an amazing one. It's been a perfect story of an African man, right? Going from zero to something and then unfortunate. Yeah, exactly, right? And you know what fascinates me about this story? What fascinates me about this story is you being put at a crossroad. Is it that you go and do the thing you've decided years ago, you were tired, you don't like that part, or you go ahead to continue volunteering your services in the Itchafari, and you decided to go to the road less traveled on, and it came out to be worth it at the end of the day. It's an amazing story. This is how we build Web3 in Africa. It's been an awesome conversation with you here, Naman Gabula, and I'm sure George has enjoyed his time here. George?
Absolutely. Naman, how can our listeners and viewers reach you?
The best place to find me is on LinkedIn. You can just find me on LinkedIn. There is Naman Gabula. Twitter, I go by Naman Gabu. And I think those are the best places to find me. You can shoot me a DM, reach out to me at any time. Let's talk about anything with regards to Web3. Let's talk about what you're looking forward to building and what legal work you need for your projects. And let's just talk about how best we can improve our continent, how we can take advantage of this one-in-a-lifetime opportunity, how we can avoid the path of least resistance, and just how we can harness all of this to make it that Africa is going to rise to the position that she deserves.
Amazing. We can't wait to have you again on this show.
I'm also looking forward. I'm really grateful to be here for the first edition, and I'm sure we're going to be talking at length about many, many, many other projects as we keep on building in this ecosystem.
Thank you.
Definitely. You can count on that. Thanks a lot again, Nama.
Yes.
It's been a wonderful experience.
Thank you so much, lads. Pleasure is all mine.
All right. Take care.